the stars are right, and that means it's time for another episode of The Whisper in Darkness. I'm your host, The Man from Lang. Thank you very much for joining me today. On this episode, we are continuing with our review of the Survivor cards in the revised core set for the benefit of new players. This is part 3, in which we take a look at the Survivor upgrades. There are spoilers throughout, if you care about that sort of thing. If you enjoy what you hear, remember to like, comment, and subscribe. Just a quick reminder of how we rate cards here on The Whisper in Darkness. The best of the best get an Elder Sign, while the worst of the worst get an Auto Fail, and the cards in between get a +1, +0, or Elder Thing, respectively. Cards that you build around or are good in one particular investigator get a Blessed Token. Before we get started, I'd like to thank the patrons of this channel for their tremendous support. The Arkham Horror LCG community is amazing, and these people have gone above and beyond to bring you content like these reviews. If you'd like to support the channel's goals and see your name on this list, head over to patreon.com, sign up for a tier of your choice, and claim your rewards. That would be awesome. Without further ado, let's get started. We are back with part 3 of our look at the Survivor cards in the revised core set for the benefit of new players. This time around, we're taking a look at the upgrades. We're starting things off with Aquina, the Forgotten Daughter. 5 cost asset that costs 1 experience point. She has a willpower skill icon and the ally trait as a response. When an enemy attacks you, exhaust Aquina and deal 1 horror to her. Deal that enemy's damage to another enemy at your location instead. You still take the horror dealt by this attack. She has 1 health and 4 sanity and takes up an ally slot. Talk about a forgotten card. Here is one that 5 years on is still looking for a home.
It's a lot of text on that card.
A lot of text to basically deal 1 damage to 1 enemy, essentially. Yeah. It's like you need 2 enemies engaged with you. One needs to attack you. It needs to not deal horror, ideally, so that Aquina doesn't have to take additional horror with her ability. And you're hopefully, like, killing the second enemy so that the second enemy doesn't hit you.
And it's
Agnes or Wendy who's playing this. And why are they being attacked?
Right, because... Yeah.
And why are they, like, being engaged with 2 enemies? That seems crazy to me. It's just not how the game is played. Like, if you're playing with Roland, what the hell was Roland doing all this time?
Yeah. I think there's a couple other cards in the revised core, namely Barricade and Mind Wipe, which, like Aquina here, I think they were designed for a game that Arkham Horror did not turn out to be. One where enemies stayed on the board much longer, had, like, 5 or so health, and would hassle you for a really long time. Aquina seems like it was designed for a game where getting surrounded happened a lot, but enemies aren't that difficult. For the most part, enemies are not that difficult to take down. You draw enemies, you take them down, and then you, you move along. She's got to deal horror to herself? It's like, what? It's
like, yeah. Why? Yeah.
5 XP was not costly enough. She has to horror to herself.
I think what they were thinking with this card was that situation in Scenario 3 that we've been kind of talking about, alluding to multiple times in this Survivor section of the review, where there's going to be a choke point, and there's a bunch of enemies that spawn on that choke point, and you just can move in with Aquina and have Aquina, like, you know, tank a couple of attacks or something like that, or you use her to, like, deal damage to other enemies and maybe soften them up so Roland can move in and kill them, but that's never gonna happen.
Yeah, it's like Scenario 3, I gotta admit, is, like, it's very unique. That's the thing. Like, it's such a unique situation compared to, like, the rest of Arkham Horror, the card game. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that it's, like, it just doesn't turn up that often. And even then, like, compare Aquina to Dodge. You know, like, a Dodge, even, it dodges the damage that you would take. It's like...
Or even Cunning Distraction. Like, wouldn't you rather just play Cunning Distraction?
Just play that, yeah, over Aquina.
Yeah, Aquina's in such an odd spot where it's just, like, you don't... I mean, she costs 5, which is outrageous. Like, for a 5-cost ally, I'd expect Leo DeLuca level power. And you're not getting that here. And she's in an odd spot because in solo, the number of situations where you're going to end up with 2 enemies at your location and be able to
to rig this whole damage switcheroo that you're going to do is just so rare that it's just not worth your time setting it up. And then in multiplayer, you're sort of expecting either Agnes or Wendy to be tanking enemies or dealing with enemies that the enemy management investigators aren't dealing with or haven't dealt with, yeah. Which just seems bizarre to me. Like, whenever I've played in multiplayer, which albeit is not often, but I have played multiplayer, and normally you have a guardian who rounds up all the enemies and kills them immediately. And if they're around for longer than a turn, then either that guardian missed an attack or something happened, something unusual happened for that circumstance.
Or you evaded the enemy.
Like, something happened. Yeah. This situation that Aquina is built for just doesn't come up.
Playing a lot of multiplayer, in fact, a lot of times you'll get in a situation as a group where the puzzle becomes, how do we defeat and or evade all the enemies on the board? In this case, you solve the puzzle, they still don't get to attack in the enemy phase where Aquina would actually do her thing. Because you've solved the puzzle. You've done all that work to get everything defeated or evaded. Aquina doesn't do anything until the enemy phase.
So how do we rate the Forgotten Daughter?
Not highly, to put it politely. I'd give her a tentacle.
Yeah, she's like super narrow. I mean, I'm even trying to think of like big brain opportunities here, but like okay, so she can block an attack of opportunity, so there might be some weird stuff. She works on elites. There might be some very narrow cases where this might actually mean something, but even the big brain ideas that are coming to me like aren't worth 5 cost. Oh gosh, yeah, tentacle.
Yeah, she gets a tentacle. There is a level 3 upgrade available in the revised core that we will look at in a moment, who I think is slightly better, but man, oh man, there's just, I think there may be a deck out there on Arkham DB that attempts to leverage Aquina, and that might even be for the level 3 version. But yeah, she's very narrow. The circumstances where you're going to want this ability just don't happen in the game all that often. And in the end, you're just ending up with a 5-cost ally that has, you know, a lot of horror soak if necessary. But there are easier and cheaper ways of getting that soak if you want it. So poor Aquina gets tentacles all around. The next card is Close Call. It's a 2-cost event that costs 2 experience points. Combat and agility skill icons. Fortune trait. It is fast. Play after a non-weakness, non-elite enemy at your location is evaded. Shuffle that enemy into the encounter deck. There aren't that many ways for pure evasion builds to get rid of enemies off the table if you really need to. There are certain enemies in the game that you do need to kill or somehow get rid of. This is one of those cards.
Yeah, I've used this to pretty good effect against the Night Gaunt enemies in Scenario 2. Because once you evade those things, you just shuffle them back in the encounter deck and get rid of them. This is definitely more useful against Hunter enemies, as generally when you evade enemies, you're just going to leave them there if they don't have Hunter. Most of the time, you're not going to need to go back to that location, but if you do, you can close call that enemy and put it back in the deck, and then you can go back to that location if you ever need to. Say enemy spawns in Rivertown or something like that, and you need to get rid of it so that investigators can more freely move around the map. Close call can be useful in those situations.
Yeah, I love how it's a situational card where you're not going to use it on every evasion test, but I love the fact that it's fast, so it doesn't cost you an additional action to get rid of the thing you just evaded. You don't have to play it until you've already evaded the thing, so you don't have the risk of failing the evade test and losing your close call. This is how evasion characters can kill enemies. Shuffling a non-elite enemy back into the encounter deck is often like it's effectively defeating it. So yeah, this thing's great.
This thing seems like it was designed with the intention of dealing with Wizard of the Order from the core set, who sits on the table and just gathers doom every turn. And if you don't have a good way of killing him outright, you do want him off the board. And this will not only eliminate him, but also all of the doom that has has collected on him. It is worth mentioning that possibly this is better at lower player counts than higher player counts, because if you do shuffle the enemy back into the encounter deck, you're going to be drawing through that encounter deck a lot faster if you're playing in four player where you're drawing four cards a turn. So that enemy is likely going to be showing up sooner than later. Whereas if it was in the discard pile, you might have a little bit longer before it showed up, because you're going to have to not only draw through the deck and then reshuffle the deck and then continue drawing. But yeah, I've used this card to pretty good effect, and it's nice to be able to get rid of an enemy, especially if you're playing some janky no-kill enemy deck. If you just want to go for a no-kill achievement, this card can be a lifesaver. How do you rate this one?
I think this one gets a zero from me. I've used it to some good effect, but like you said, Man from Lang, I think in 3 and 4 player, this card loses a little bit of stock, but even in those circumstances, it can still be useful to get an enemy off the board, even for a couple of turns, just so you can kind of regroup and get some assets down on the table.
I like this card a lot. I think it's a plus one, because it means that an evasion-focused character can deal with one of the downsides of evasion. That is, it doesn't remove the enemy off the board. I think it's well-costed. I think it's got a good, great effect. It's fast. There's also, like, in 3-4 player, I've discovered, if you can find tricks to evade things that aren't engaged with you, this card gets pretty hilarious. You can, like, evade something engaged with somebody else and then shuffle it back into the encounter deck, and then you feel like a rock star.
I think I'm going to give this one a zero. I really like this card, but I don't know how often I upgrade into it. That might just be because I play solo a lot of the time, and it seems like a more situational card. Unless you're running into a lot of enemies like the Wizard of the Order that you need to find a way to get off the table, I find that even if I'm playing a large deck that's based largely around evasion, I usually have a way of killing at least one or two enemies as well. And I find that this card doesn't end up being all that necessary, but I have played it and it does do wonders for you in those situations. So I certainly wouldn't feel bad about spending the 2 XP to put this in my deck if I thought I needed it. That brings us to the upgrade for Lucky in the Revised Core. This is Lucky level 2, 1 cost event, fortune trait, fast play. When you would fail a skill test, you get +2 skill value for that test, and you get to draw a card. I think we'll just give this one an Elder Sign and move on.
Yeah, it's lucky, but it draws you a card.
2 XP, get a card. If you have enough XP where drawing a card is where it's worth spending 2 to draw a card, do it. Plus, it means you can save your other 2 copies of Lucky to give to another investigator.
That's right. So yeah. Wendy can upgrade and then lend out the Luckies to Agnes or vice versa. The next card is Will to Survive. It is a 4-cost event that costs 3 experience points. Combat and wild skill icons. Spirit trait, fast play only during your turn until the end of your turn. Do not reveal chaos tokens for any skill tests you perform. This is an engine for some very powerful combo plays. It's pretty nice when you are able to drop this on the table and know that for probably at least the next 3 skill tests, you know whether you're going to succeed or fail, and you don't have to dip your hand in the bag.
And in Wendy, if you have Leo DeLuca out, that's 4 actions, which is, I mean, the more actions that you can take while this card is active, the better.
Well, the Survive is pretty good, but I don't think it's, like, universally strong, because one issue with Will to Survive is it is expensive. It's also expensive XP-wise, but it can often be difficult to really get max usage out of Will to Survive, because what if you have to move, you know, or what if you only need to succeed on one fight check? I mean, it's great in boss situations where it's like, I have to kill the Ghoul Priest. Will to Survive is great. It will solve that problem. And at 3 XP, it seems appropriately costed. It's just, as great as it is, I wouldn't expect to be playing this every game, because you're going to get good, you're not going to get good value out of it all the time.
Yeah, I'd agree with you, Matastrophic. As much as this is, I think this is a powerful card, it's not a card that I have purchased all that often. In fact, I think the only deck that I picked this up in was a combo Wendy deck that had a goal of killing the experiment in the Dunwich Legacy, and I needed to make sure I didn't have to draw tokens from the Chaos Bag. I think if you're playing this card, you have a very specific situation in mind when you are going to play it and not take, not have to draw from the bag. I don't think this is a card you just put in your deck and you're like, well, you know, one turn I'll play it and I won't have to take skill tests. I don't think that's what this card is for. This card is for very specific situations when you're like, I know that I'm going to have to kill an enemy, or I know that I'm going to have to investigate a location, and I cannot fail. So I'm going to save my will to survive for that particular circumstance. It does have, you know, the two combat skill icons as well, potentially, which I guess not that great in Wendy. You know, I don't think they're certainly not the two willpower skill icons that you get on something like Cunning Distraction. I'd much rather have those.
So the thing about the two icons being combat here is that those are investigation phase icons. If it was a willpower and a question mark, that'd be really good, because that's a mythos phase, bail you out of trouble set of icons. So it's like the times when you're going to want the combat and wild there are going to be times that you're going to want to have played Will to Survive anyway. So like, it doesn't, I guess you only need those icons when you can't afford Will to Survive, I guess. Yeah. But it doesn't really save the card like it does with Cunning Distraction, you know, because you can't use it really well in the Mythos phase.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. The icons are sort of, they're running counter to what the card actually wants to do. It's just like, if you were to purchase this for 3 XP, which is at the top of the curve for most Survivor cards, they have received a couple that cost more than 3, but as a general rule, 3 is the upper limit. You're probably not purchasing it with the intention of committing this to a skill test anytime, because Wendy doesn't really take combat skill tests all that often. So you're really hanging on to this. You're really putting this in your deck with the intention of hanging on to it until that moment when you're either going to fight the boss, or you're at a location where you need to discover clues, or you need to evade a bunch of enemies for some reason, and you absolutely have to do it. How would you rate this one?
I think for me, this gets a bless token. You have to be building your deck around that specific situation where you're going to be playing this card. You're not going to spend 3 to 6 experience on this card to just use it as an overpower, like Matt and Man from Lang were saying. You're going to build a situation where this card is going to do a lot of work for you, but that being said, that effect is really powerful, and it's going to clutch out those situations where you play it.
Wendy is also, like, because of her rogue access, even as the card pool expands, and one theme of rogue is that you have effects that can give you conditionally or unconditionally additional actions. I think Wendy's the place for Will to Survive. And if you're going to do those power turns with Wendy, that means you're going to need to include cards that allow you to do power turns. Like, you're going to want to include baseball bats so you can deal damage. You're going to want to include some multiple clue intellect boosts, like beyond just lockpicks, in order to discover multiple clues. You're going to want to include Leo DeLuca so you can get extra mileage out of this thing. You're going to want to include quick thinking from, I think, the Dunwich Legacy cycle to get another action. That's a good point, Nate, with the bless. And I think I'll change my rating to bless, because I think you're right. It can be very powerful if you build for it.
Yeah, I hadn't considered giving this a bless token until Nate piped up, and I think he's right. This is a card you're definitely building around. You have a plan for this thing if you're putting it in your deck, and you're certainly not just spending 3 experience points on this with the intention of either committing it to a skill test or just playing it one turn, just because I think generally once you get a little bit more experience with the game, failing skill tests becomes, I think, more of a rarity when you know, okay, if you're playing on standard difficulty and you need to be two up before the pull, usually on the tests that you need to pass, you can arrange that. And there are the tests you don't care about, fine. But for this, you're really looking for one big turn where you just go all out and you accomplish some sort of objective, whether that's killing a boss or finishing off a scenario. I should mention there is a level zero version of Will This Survive in the Stella Clark starter deck. Basically the same as this one, except that it has a combat and agility skill icon. And you only, it says, do not reveal a token for the next skill test you perform. So you only get to use it the one time. So obviously quite a bit less powerful than not revealing chaos tokens for an entire, until the end of your turn. That brings us to Aquina level 3. I'm still not entirely sure why the designers felt the need to double down on Aquina in the revised core, but here we are. 4 cost asset that costs 3 experience points, so she is slightly cheaper than her level 1 version. Willpower and agility skill icon, ally trait. As a response, when an enemy attacks you, exhaust Aquina and deal 1 horror to her. Deal that enemy's damage to any enemy at your location instead. You still take the horror dealt by that attack. She has 1 health and 4 sanity and takes up an ally slot. The big difference here is that you can deal that damage back to the enemy that attacks you. So now you only need 1 enemy at your location, which I guess is better.
Yeah, it is a lot better that you only need 1 enemy.
Yes, it's less situational. Yeah,
and the fact that she costs 4 instead of 5 is also nice.
Nice, yeah.
But 3 experience.
And still 4 is a lot. Mm. Man. I wonder if what happened when developing her, I wonder if the designers realized they would have had a hard time explaining how Aquina could block the whole attack, yet only deal the damage for the attack back to the enemy. I wonder if that's what happened. I wonder if they were, you know, I wonder if the playtesters kept asking, but what about the horror? What, don't I put horror on the enemy that just attacked me too? That's my best guess. I don't know about you guys.
I mean, I get why the you still take horror dealt by the attack is on the level 1 version, because Agnes can take it, but the level 3 version?
I don't know. You know what I wish happened? I wish they just freaking put Peter Sylvester in the revised core. Just put him and his level 2 upgrade, and everyone would be happier.
Yeah. Yeah, they could have replaced. I've often said that, you know, I think the designers could have taken a few more risks when they were developing the revised core, and I think one of them would have been to take Aquina out. I don't think if Aquina had been missing, you would have many players who would be crying if you had replaced her with Peter Sylvester. I think there would have been a lot of cheers. And okay, so Aquina level 1 becomes hard to find because you'd have to find her from the old core set. But really, a card that wasn't seeing play in the first place, nobody's going to seek it out. Now, it is worth mentioning, I have been playing Daniela Reyes lately from the Edge of the Earth Investigator expansion. And Aquina does have some potential in her. I'm not convinced that Aquina level 3 is necessarily going to make the cut, but given Daniela's propensity for being attacked by things, there might be something there. It might be a replacement for Guard Dog and Daniela, but still the whole awkwardness of the horror, I think, makes having a tough time wrapping my head around that. So how do we, poor old level 1 Aquina got tentacles across the board. Does Aquina level 3 do enough to elevate her?
I don't
see
think
Matt
so.
Shaking his head.
You know what it is? It's a tentacle, but it's like a baby tentacle, because at least it's not as bad, but still a tentacle.
Yeah, it's like, I do think I would play Stray Cat over Aquina level 3, just because I would want to expend my experience on Will to Survive or something like that.
I got you, Nate. Here's what you do. You know what's a combo? Stray Cat, And close call.
There you go. Boom.
Yeah, yep. That's true. Auto evade and then shuffle an enemy back in. That's pretty good.
That seems a lot better for your time and resources than a Quinn level 3, in my opinion.
I don't know if I'm prepared to give her a tentacle. I kind of want to bump her up to an elder thing just because you can deal the damage back to the enemy. But again, I think in the revised core, this card has no place. Like, it just doesn't fit yeah. with how you're going to play the game. And you're basically at this point, Wendy is being attacked, since not even Agnes can take this card. So Wendy is being attacked. Wendy is taking horror, which is bad, I think, because her weakness deals her... Is it 2 direct horror?
Who? Yeah.
So that's not something I really want to be doing. And Wendy doesn't have any horror soak in besides Aquinas. So you're... How much value are you going to get out of this 4-cost ally? It doesn't add up. So I think I got to give her a tentacle as well. I think she's a card for, like you say, Matastrophic, a different game. Mm-hmm. Perhaps the game that the designers envisioned, but then never happened, where enemies were staying on the board longer and enemies were threatening other investigators besides besides Guardians. That brings us to the final upgrade. This is a new addition to the revised core. This is Eucatastrophe, 2-cost event that costs 3 experience points, 2 wild skill icons, fortune and bless traits, fast play when you reveal a chaos token that would reduce your skill value to 0 during a skill test, including the auto fail token. Cancel that token and treat it as an elder sign token instead. Can't think of many cards in the game that cancel the auto fail, and this is one of them.
There's two. There's another one. Wendy Adams.
I don't know how I feel about this upgrade in the core set.
Yeah, no.
Like it's a good card, but it feels a little redundant in Wendy, in my opinion. Like you were saying, Matt. Like Wendy basically already has this ability on her investigator card. Mm-hmm. But I mean, having more wild skill icons is nice, but I don't know. Like, it is nice that you could, like, commit this card and then use the amulet to, like, pull it back out later or something like that, but,
It's like a super lucky.
Yeah, essentially. Yeah. I mean, as your card pool expands... Yeah, as your card pool expands, you get William Yorick, and William Yorick loves this card, but...
Oh, yeah, that's right.
But...
Yeah, any way to bring this back to your hand is really good.
Yeah,
it's good. I wouldn't say it's like Elder Sign good, but I think it's really good because you can just pull -4s and turn them into successes. It's like we were talking about Sure Gamble earlier. This is kind of the survivor equivalent of Sure Gamble. You can take really nasty tokens, especially like when you start seeing what's it like -5s and -6s, you know, on harder difficulties. This could really save your butt.
Yeah, another thing to note too is that since Wendy's the only investigator that can take this, that Elder Sign doesn't really do anything. It's just a 0. It's like you're just passing the test, and it's like, like you were saying, it's basically just another copy of Lucky at that point.
Yeah, I think that the thing to keep in mind with this card is that the token must reduce your skill value to 0, so it's easier to trigger this if you're using your lower skills, like in... Since Wendy is the only one who can take this, her intellect or combat, as opposed to, say, her willpower or agility, which are a little higher, you really need to be drawing very negative tokens from the bag in order to trigger this. And the other thing to keep in mind is that even if you draw an Elder Sign, barring Wendy having her amulet on the table, so she auto-succeeds, an Elder Sign doesn't necessarily guarantee that you will pass the test, because it's often... a 0 or a +1. Mm-hmm. I think Elder Signs max out. I think Safina from the Path to Carcosa has a +3, but that's pretty rare. So even if you do
play Jenny Barnes, yeah, her Elder Sign maxes out at 800 million.
So even if you play this card, there is a chance that you can still fail the skill test. So the 2 wild skill icons are really nice.
Yeah.
Even if you're just picking this up as another copy of Unexpected Courage, it's still pretty good. And if you do have Wendy's amulet down, I guess you're automatically succeeding. So that's not bad either. But yeah, there, I think there are definitely other investigators in the game that that like this card more. In fact, it was, I think it had become so ubiquitous in certain investigators like Yorick that in the recent FAQ, this landed on the optional list of taboos with a remove from game after you play it added to the card. So again, the optional list of taboos, just a list of optional rules that you can use for certain cards once you get a little bit more experience for the game. It is completely optional, so you may use it or ignore it as you see fit. And this was one of the cards that got tagged in the recent FAQ. How would we rate this one?
I think I'm pretty prepared to give it a 0. You know, I think within just the core box, it's basically just an unexpected courage, which is fine, but not really what you want to be upgrading into. But Wendy doesn't really have a ton of options aside from the obvious lockpicks. Like, you're going to be grabbing lockpicks. And if you don't want to build your deck around Will to Survive, then this is pretty much your only other option, I guess.
I'd give this one a +1, simply because a lucky-like effect is incredibly strong. It also has 2 icons if you don't want to pay for it. And it can also cover those really nasty tokens, like -5s and -6s. Yeah, I'm willing to give it a +1 because of just general use as a super lucky.
Yeah, I think I'm somewhere between a +1 and a 0, and I'll settle on +1. I think, I mean, the effect is really good, and the icons are really good, so I can't really fault the card for those two things. So, yeah, I think it's among the stronger options in the revised core. You know, looking at what's available in terms of upgrades in the revised core, poor Wendy is really in a tough place, you know, between lockpicks and maybe upgrading her luckies and maybe upgrading Leo DeLuca if she wants. She's not picking up Aquina, you know, close calls a little bit more situational. So if you want extra wild skill icons, you can't really go wrong. That's going to do it for our look at the upgrades in the Survivor class in the revised core set. What a... Wow, 2 tentacles. That's not a good start.
Yeah, it's a roller coaster ride. That's what we had here.
So what sort of upgrade path are we looking at? Is there, you know, if you're playing Agnes, there's really not much here to attract you except lucky level 2. And as we discussed in the in our review of the Mystic upgrades, not a lot of great Mystic upgrades there either. So for Agnes, it's looks like Rite of Seeking 2, maybe Lucky 2. If you're Wendy, you're probably looking at lockpicks from the Rogue card pool, maybe Leo DeLuca. The Derringer is also, I think, an option for her. But the options in the Survivor card pool are basically, you know, close call in certain situations, lucky, Will to Survive if you've got a particular deck in mind, but probably not your first choice. And then Eucatastrophe if you want to really guarantee that you're going to pass a couple tests. What do you guys think?
Yeah, I think Will to Survive, just there isn't really enough in the core box alone, I think, for Wendy to really justify building a deck around it. I mean, you could certainly try and prove me wrong, but I just don't think there's enough there for Wendy to build around with just the core box. I've always felt like Lucky level 2 is a luxury upgrade more than anything else.
I agree.
You know, and arguably the level 0 version becomes more useful because there are cards that can recur the level 0 version of the level 2 version.
Oh, right. I know what you're talking about.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. With Scrounge for Supplies.
Yeah.
Coming to mind. Yeah, and it's like Eucatastrophe is, like you said, Man from Lang, there are times where it's not going to always put you above the threshold of passing a skill test. So, yeah, Survivors are in a weird spot, I think.
Weird spot, but they also have a couple of cards that are just universally strong upgrades, mainly Lucky and Lucky.
Yeah, to me, I think the biggest crime here is that they added another copy of Aquina. I was, frankly, I was looking around when the revised core set was just about to be released, and I knew, you know, in certain areas, certain markets, the cards had been spoiled, and I was like desperately trying to find. The only thing I didn't know what was in the box was, you know, what the new upgrades were. What were the new, the reprinted cards? And when I saw Aquina on the list, I'm like, what the hell?
Like, Aquina and Scrying.
And yeah, between Aquina and Scrying, there are some odd choices. I don't know. Maybe the designers have Aquina pet decks that are amazing. Maybe. I don't know. Certainly doesn't seem like it's in the revised core, but they know the game better than I do. So yeah, not a great choice. There are so many better Survivor cards that could have filled that spot, and players would have been happy. That's going to do it for this episode. If you enjoyed what you hear, remember to like, comment, and subscribe. If you need to contact me, I can be reached at manfromlang@gmail.com. I'm also on Twitter @manfromlang. Until the stars are right, keep your shotgun close and your elder sign closer. Take care out there, and happy investigating.